Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, we're doing our Tuesday show on a Wednesday this week. I'm in Grants Pass right now, and internet is a little bit suspect, so hopefully it works. If there's problems, let me know. I might switch to my phone's internet at some point if things don't work. Also, hopefully the audio is okay because I don't have a microphone. I'm using the computer. So we're going to get started with the show. Thank you all for joining. And we have two things I want to talk about. One, I want to talk about our one-day safety clinics and then just answer questions. Typical show. And our first one-day safety clinic is this Saturday. We had three of them planned, and two of them only had one person booked. And so they're not blowing up like I thought they might. So we just have the one. It's the Saturday. If it goes well, we'll do another one. We'll see. I think this is a brilliant idea because it allows you to get the rescue training you want without committing to a full 2 or 3 day course. And so this Saturday, we're going to talk about throw bags and talk about mechanical advantage. That's all we're doing. Maybe, and I can answer a question about other stuff. But if you want to join, there's just three people. We'll still run it for three people because it's still fun. It's good education. But it's something that I want to continue to do. It helps to live near Hood River, like in the Portland, Oregon area, because you're not going to drive from California for a day, of course. But the idea is offering a la carte rescue instruction instead of having to commit to a big, long class. If ideally you do one of these every year, and just keep building skills over time instead of like shoving a lot of stuff into 3 days. So it's an idea. We'll see how it ends up working out. And let's get going with questions. So the first one's blower adapters. Good morning, Zach, and the rest of the crew at River Hardware. I'm sending this email to Northwest Rafting Company because there's no contact link for River Hardware. Yeah, and just so everybody knows, like River Hardware is like a side hobby that I do. And I don't have time to do customer service. Like I'm a very busy person. So when you buy from River Hardware, you should expect no customer service. And if we do email you back, we're going to be grumpy. It's going to be worse than good customer service. It's going to be the opposite. So again, River Hardware is something I do because there's products I want to get to people. I feel like it helps get people the right products, but it's not something I want to be writing emails back and forth about. And I don't want to have a contact link. And so when you contact me through my business, it is distracting to me running my business. Just so you know, like, thanks for doing it, but like, you are distracting me running a business. And understand, everything in River Hardware, the customer service is horrible. Our motto at River Hardware is, if you want customer service, go to NRS. That's our motto. Okay, a bit frustrated. Okay, so you're already frustrated. You should be frustrated because we don't have customer service. That's who we are. You should be frustrated. And if you're frustrated, please go to NRS, because they will hopefully not frustrate you. At Red Frustrated, I can see a Leafield C7C D7 adapter for every blower except Craftsman. We have DeWalt, Milwaukee. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I made one for Makita, and then people were like, can you make a DeWalt one? So I made a DeWalt one. Can you make a Milwaukee one? I made a Milwaukee one. I didn't make it. I worked with a guy who did the design, produces them. Can you make a Ryobi one? Did a Ryobi one. Can you do this one? And at some point, I have to like say no. At some point, I can't make one for every possible. If there's some blower that's people want me to make one for too, I just unfortunately don't have the time to make a blower adapter for everybody's blower out there. I made four of them. It turns out though, one of these, Michael in my office thinks that the DeWalt one works on the Craftsman one, but if you have a Craftsman and you buy a DeWalt one, you're taking your chances. And if you try to return it, we're going to be grumpy because that's River Hardware. That's what we do. We don't have good customer service. So you're taking a chance buying the DeWalt one because I don't want to do returns. I'll be really grumpy if I have to do a return. What gives? Did I miss it on the webpage? Was one available? And somehow, no, we just don't have time to make everybody's dream adapter. So that's just the reality. Curious if this is a near future possibility. Maybe. Yeah, I got to somehow confirm whether the DeWalt one fits the Craftsman or not. And it's unfortunately not something I have time to do. So if anybody knows, well, somebody told us that it did. So hopefully it does. Thank you, and keep the downstream for your angle. Yeah, cool. So yeah, sorry for being frustrated. You should be frustrated because that's how we operate at River Hardware. My business, Northwest Drafting Company, is how I make a living, and we have amazing customer service. You should expect good customer service when you book a trip with us, but when you buy something from River Hardware, you should expect the opposite, because we're, instead of putting energy into being customer service at River Hardware, we focus on doing customer service for my business, Northwest Rafting Company. Hopefully that makes sense, and hopefully you guys understand that. Okay, RAV setup. I was thinking about purchasing a 13'9" raft. It's a very specific size you're going for there. Wondering if it's big enough for multi-day trips, usually as a group, maybe as only one raft with 1 to 2 IKs. Me and one of the passenger gear on a 3 to 4 people, cooler, dry box for kitchen, groover, chairs, and a tall table. Okay, so this was a follow-up question to a question about a wing boat. So I think that because this is specifically about the wing 13'9". So let's look at Wing's website. I'm going to double check this. I think whoever this is looking at Wing rafts, and they're looking at the 13'9" Runyon. Yeah. So all of these rafts that Wing has on here are wing boats I designed for them. So I know the ins and outs of them, except the Runyon. And I have a Runyon. I like it for like R2ing, for light rowing. It's a great boat to row. It's actually really fun to row. But I didn't design it. I would not say it's a boat for, can you guys all see this stuff that's open up? Yeah. So I'd say the Runyon's the only boat I didn't design. And I don't think it would be a very good overnight boat at all. It has too much rocker. The tubes are too small. It's just not a good boat. And there's the 12'6" Nichols I did not design either. So those two boats, the 12'6" Nichols, 13'9", those are previous Wing designs. They just threw them in the lineup. I am not a big fan of either one of those. If you're going to do an overnight trip, there's that 14'6" Williamson is, I think, the bare minimum size if you're going to go like river trip style. Like if you're going to go backpacking food, simple stoves, you can do 13-foot boat. You can do something like that. But if you're going to go actual like frame with a cooler and dry box and like stuff, the minimum size, in my opinion, is the 14'6" Williamson. I designed that boat. It's based on the Avon Adventurer, which was a 14. I took the Avon Adventurer, made it a little bit longer, which allowed it to work as a paddle boat, but also towards a gear boat too. So it's a little bit of a compromise between a couple of things. But I think that boat is perfect. Honestly, if I'm buying a multi-day boat, personally, I'm going 16-foot Surge. The 16-foot boat is the first boat I designed. The 18 is based on the Avon Super Pro, almost exactly. The Surge is based on the Pro, and that's the first boat I like really tweaked and designed. The 18-foot George is like pretty much an exact replica of a Super Pro. The 16-foot is like an Avon Pro where I tweaked a few things to make it better. To me, the 16-foot is the best multi-day boat you can get, hands down, no problem. The 14'6" is just a smaller version, something just a little more sporty. You probably wouldn't do the Grand Canyon in it, but you could. It's perfect for the Middle Fork of the Salmon, Rogue, John Day. Just, it's the perfect trip boat. There's also a 13-foot version of the Williamson, which Wing makes but doesn't advertise, and a lot of people have bought that boat because they go on our classes and people love that boat. So like the 16, the 14'6" and the 13 are the exact same basic design. They're just sized differently, and thwarts are placed differently based on their application. The 13 is better. The 13-foot boat that we call Tony Stark, that's what I call it, and if you just call Wing and say, we want the Tony Stark, they should know what that means. The 13 Tony Stark is a better overnight boat than the 13'9" Runyon. The Runyon has too small tubes. It's just, it has too much rocker. It's weird. But the 13-foot, so 13 is better than the 13'9". The 13-foot boat is a bit small though. Like you're going to go backpacking food. You're going to go simple stoves, minimal stuff. It's not made for a lot of stuff. That's why the 14.6 exists. But long term, you're going to want the 16. Sorry, that's a lot of information, but I have a lot of thoughts about what you asked here. So let me get back to your question. Okay, boom, boom. And I don't see a frame at first glance. Okay, so Wing, let me talk about Wing for a second. I like Wing a lot. We have a ton of their boats. They make great boats. They don't have a person on staff who is a boater that I know of. Like, they have people that make boats, but they don't have like a person who can answer questions about boating. That's why I get a lot of questions, because there's no, you can't call Wing and get a good answer. And people ask me questions about the Wing boats a lot. I don't really want to be Wing customer service. They should have a person on staff that can answer these questions. But since they don't, I'm gonna do my best. They should also have a frame that matches their boats, but they, I don't think they do or have a recommendation. They might. We, for the 16-foot, the 16-foot Surge, we have a frame we worked with downriver that's meant to be super light and simple that we use for our Illinois trips. I don't have, you could call them and say, and they also made one for our 14.6s. So we have a frame, we have a design for our 14.6s and a design for the 16s. I think the frames are awesome. I think they're perfect. I love them, but they're also simple. Most people want more bells and whistles and doodads. So you could call downriver, and if they remember, they could bring up that order I did for the 16 and the 14.6 frames and hopefully get it right. It's just, this should be easy, but unfortunately it's not. So otherwise you have to just go to whatever frame maker you're going to go with and just give them some dimensions, and hopefully it doesn't get messed up. Okay. I see there's some questions here. So let's see, get the 15. I think so. Is the 15, are you talking about the 14.6? Cause I think there's also, I've been told they have another boat where they stretched out one of my boats. I think it's the 14.6, but they made it longer. That might be an option too. It's just, I don't know that for sure. That could be sweet. People like that boat. I'm just going to say, when I did the 14.6 and the 13 and the 16, I followed like a lot of important length to width ratios and dimensions. And anything I didn't design, I can't really, like, I've never even seen the 15 or whatever. There's something, I think they call it a stretched Williamson or something. I don't know much about it, but they have a lot of different boats. But if it's based on my 14.6, it's going to be really good. Okay, the 15-foot Super Williamson. Okay, cool. Like, so somebody made one 6 inches longer. Hopefully they made it a little wider to compensate. Who knows if they did or didn't. But that would be a sweet boat. Yep, that would be a sweet boat. When would you recommend the 18 instead of a 16 for a private boater? The 18 for me is a commercial boat. We use it commercially. As a private boater, I don't think I would ever want that boat. I mean, it wouldn't be for the Grand Canyon. It could be sweet. The Grand Canyon is a good example. But if I'm going to have one boat as a private boater for boating, it would definitely be the 16. I would only recommend the 18 for Grand Canyon. Or if you're just a baller and want a big old boat and you can row a big old boat, that's the reason you might. But it's just, a bigger boat means bigger trailer, bigger frame, more work. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. Okay. NRS 66 by 78. There you go. On the Wing 15. That's a sweet combination. Yeah. It's in my garage. Oh, sweet. Yeah. Awesome. Love to hear it. I bet that 15 is cool. I would love to, if you can, send me a photo of it. I'd love to see it. I have no idea what it looks like. Food for thought. Adam Walker built my creek frame for my Williamson. We measured it and it 1 to 4 inch different than Wing specs. Huh. Yeah. There is some, I'm trying to think how to say this delicately. Wing has made some mistakes. And so when you buy a Wing, you're spending a lot of money for a premium boat. And you usually get a premium boat, but they have made some mistakes. And so I it's hard for me to wholeheartedly recommend them for everybody. Yeah, they're great, but the boats are great. I mean, the manufacturing, the materials are spectacular. It's just like, there's some things they do in the process like when you get your boat, you're always like, ah, they did that slightly wrong, you know? So I don't know. It's frustrating a little bit. So it's hard for me, like, cause I hate to promote something and then have you get a boat that's 1 to 4 inches different than expected. Or in my case, like I recommended to Wing to another outfitter. They bought the boats. All the logos came off. My logos are coming off. This is my warehouse where all my boats are. My logos are all coming off too. And then the other outfitter who I recommended them to, all their logos are coming off. And it's a pain to get them fixed because you got to send them back. It's just, it's frustrating. So it's hard. I've stopped recommending Wing. Not that I don't like their boats. I just, some of the, it's almost the details get messed up. Okay. What kind of issues? Oh, you know, like 1 year they changed the handles on me and they were further out. And so you could put a leg through the handle, the handle to carry it. And I'm like, why would you do that? And nobody just knows that you can't have a leg entrapment attached to the boat. What else? The logos have definitely been a little bit of a problem. At first they put the wrong valves on some of my boats and I think they fixed that. Just little things like that, like almost like the detail and the finishes. And it sounds like Sean's, you know, was 1 to 4 inches different than the specs. So if you go to buy a frame based on the specs, you know, you get a boat that's different, that's not going to fit. And so you almost have to get the boat and then measure it because it might be different than it's supposed to be. Things like that, just little detail things. Like one thing was like more, they did my logos one way 1 year and then did them differently another year. Just they look different. Like they could, the consistency is important. And you know, the way they angled them on the boat, it's just like they all look slightly different. It's like semi frustrating. Measurements not to spec, D-rings rip through. Yeah. Oh yeah, there's some D-rings. That's frustrating. Loose floors. Yeah, I had something else break too. Oh, the thwarts. All the D-rings on the thwarts, they're breaking all the time. And so I have to send my thwarts back. Like I've been on trips where they break, like the Illinois, and then that's kind of dangerous when the D-rings attached to the thwarts break. And then we have to send them back, and then it's a whole thing. So it's just little things like that. So I don't know. I hope this doesn't come off of me bad-mouthing them because I like them. I like their boats. I've just had some frustrations with some of the details. And I have to express that because some of you might be buying Wing boats because I have them or because I recommend them. And I do, but hopefully you look at, like, just if you do buy one, be ready for something to be off. Okay, cool. Let's move on from this question. So I hear you saying you don't recommend them. What raft would you recommend? Again, it's not that I don't recommend, like every raft has a problem. Every company is not perfect, right? I want you to know where Wing isn't perfect. They make great boats. It's like I said, great material, great fabric. I designed them. I think the designs are perfect. There's just some detail things that get messed up. And because there's not like a boater person there that understands boating, they sometimes mess up details. If you want a boat, a company where they get the details right, usually they don't always, every company's made mistakes. I own rafts from all the companies. They've all made some mistake at some point. I think Air does a great job. I just don't like the floors, the way they work and like the double tube thing, but Air is solid. Sotar's making really good stuff. I think Sotar, I think what I'd love to do is give Sotar these designs and then have them just make us that boat. Sotar, I think, is doing really good stuff right now. Moravia, I haven't seen Moravia for a while, but you know, they make a really cool boat. RMR, if you're trying to save money, does a good job. Yeah, I mean, they're all plus and minuses. I'm a big fan of things made in the US, so Air, Sotar, Moravia. Am I forgetting somebody? Yeah, the wings I have, I do love. There's just some things about them I don't like. If I'm gonna take any boat on the water personally of my boats, I'm going to take a Wing. I love my Wing 13s for like technical water for day trips. I love my Wing Cat. The Wing 16 Surge is my favorite boat. I took this 14-6 as a paddle boat last year in the Rogue, had a great time. Like it's not that I don't recommend them. I just want you to be kind of like, understand what problems you might run into. Yeah, the craftsmanship isn't real. Yeah, the sales. Yep, yep. I think that great description. The craftsmanship. There's beautiful boats, well made, beautiful boats, but they're not. You when you call them, you'll find that selling to rafters is not a priority. They might think it is, but it's not. Okay, I'm gonna get in trouble here if I keep talking. I'm gonna stop talking. Okay, so it flows. Zach, hey Zach, my boating crew was lucky enough to draw a SOA permit this June 9th. We did your class 3 rescue course on the Clack last March, and you admonished us to seriously scrutinize our decisions to run the middle fork last year above 5 feet. We got lucky and had hero flows early June and a safe and successful trip with 9 boats. Sweet. I don't think it was above. I think I told you if it's above 5 feet, you should really think your decision through. I don't think it was above 5 feet. So you probably, when you say hero flows, you probably had like 3.5. It's great. Awesome. Yeah. It's above 5. You want a solid team out there ready for like a lot of stuff. Not that you're not solid, but you really want to like people to know the river at different levels and blah, blah, blah. Okay. My question would be, is there a similar threshold you also have for the subway? We're thinking less than 5 feet at Paradise for sure. And hopefully trending down. Ideally, I think I would feel more comfortable with 4 feet and dropping. I've watched too many goat shows on that river at Juicy Flows. What's a goat show? Anyway, any advice, knowledge you have this SOA, we'd find incredibly useful. I've only done a SOA once. I think it was around 4 feet. It was challenging enough. If it got higher, it would be pretty continuous, honestly. I would look in the book, like look at, I guess I would always look at the books, I guess not at the website. My Whitewater guidebook page for the SOA, this is where I keep, because I can't remember all this stuff. And so this is where I keep all my notes or my thinking on stuff. So this is where I would go to Whitewater guidebook, bucket list, SOA. And I will put like levels for mortals, like, right. People. And so 1 feet to 4 feet, 4.4 feet, or 1,000 to 14,000 at Lowell. So that's what I think is like what most groups of reasonable people should be at, not based on me doing all those flows, based on talking to a lot of friends after I did it and trying to come up with my suggestion. I probably looked in some books that made similar suggestions and based mine off of that. So, and of course, like if it's 4.2 feet and rising, that's a lot different than 4.4 and dropping. And the weather plays a role, of course, too. So, that's my best advice. I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I've only done the subway once. I'm by no means an expert on the subway, but that's kind of my thinking. Hopefully that helps. Sean, sales process. Yeah, goofy. That's funny. All right. Back to questions. Okay. Beaver tail size. I have another wing question. That's funny. I have a 16-foot wave surge on order. What size cargo floor do you like for the stern? Downriver equipment, ? I don't understand this. Okay, so what size cargo floor do you like for the stern? So we use wooden, what we call beaver tails. We don't use like a cargo floor. Unless it's like low water, middle fork, we sometimes use a cargo floor like you're thinking of. We custom cut wooden boards. Like we get a saw out to wood and we like round the corners and we add lacquer and all that. So we don't, the size, I mean, it's whatever the size of the back of the boat is. You look at the back of the boat, you measure it, and you like make a piece like that. Now, if you want to buy one, I have no idea. This is a question. I mean, Wing would be well served to have a cargo floor that they can sell you / recommend, but they probably don't. So I don't know how to answer that question. Downriver equipment ? I don't even know what you're asking here. Are you asking if Downriver Equipment sells a cargo floor? I'm guessing you're asking that. I have zero idea. I have no idea. Again, we custom make all ours by hand with plywood, marine grade plywood. And so, sorry, I can't answer that question. Well, that looks like the end of the questions, unless anybody wants to throw in the comments here. I think we've done another episode of the Gear Garage Live Show and have answered a lot of questions. There was one more thing I did want to talk about, but what was it? I was going to bring one thing up if I had time, but I guess I forgot. I want to just share my one thing that I've been thinking about a lot, and it's drowning. And, you know, we on the river, drowning is something that is probably our biggest fear. The thing we train a lot to prevent people from drowning, and we train for getting people back in boats. But if people do drown, how to manage that, what to do, like, what should we do if somebody shows symptoms of drowning? And symptoms of drowning would be like, they went for a long swim, they're having a hard time breathing, and then foam coming out of the mouth. That's like a telltale symptom. And I'm not a first aid instructor. I'm not a CPR instructor, but I want to share some things. I've probably shared this before on shows, but I just want to share this with all of you. First of all, it's good to take a CPR class, and one that does breathing and compressions. A lot of CPR now is compressions only, where you just like push on the chest, which doesn't work for drowning. Like, people need oxygen when they drown. And so two things I want to share about drowning to accentuate CPR training that all of you do. One is, the first thing you want to do when you get them to a stable place is give them 5 breaths. And surfers have even given people 5 breaths in the water. So if it means in the water, like you kayak it up and you get them on your boat, give them 5. They need oxygen. They need oxygen in their brain. The drowning is a brain problem, right? They need oxygen. So you want 5 rescue breaths, and you really need to have a mask to do rescue breaths. So carrying like a little tiny like rescue mask in your PFD should be mandatory. Again, because drowning is like the thing we all fear, and it's like the big scare in the river. We should be ready for it. So you want to pull out your rescue mask, give 5 rescue breaths, whether it's in the water or quickly on shore, and then go into CPR, whether that's just one rescue breath every 6 seconds. I always forget. One rescue breath, I think, every 6 seconds, or 30 compressions to 2 breaths, right? Whatever you do. So 5 rescue breaths, then go into CPR. The other piece that I think is really good to know is if there's foam coming out of the mouth, which is a telltale sign of drowning, that you can't get that foam out. You can't turn them upside down, the foam, you can't put them on the side, the foam's all going to come out. No matter what you do, the foam is going to keep coming. You have to breathe through the foam. And so that's where you need, again, a CPR mask, because if you put your mouth on somebody's foaming mouth, it's just going to be gross. You're going to throw up. You need to cover them and then just push through the foam as you're breathing. So the three things I want to leave you all with about CPR for drowning. One, do 5 rescue breaths as fast as you can. Two, take a CPR class and be ready to do like 32 CPR. And three is, you have to push through the foam. You can't get it out. Okay. So Sean's saying 1 breath every 3 to 5 seconds. Is that right? I feel like it's 1 breath every 5 seconds. I guess 3 to 5. It depends. I don't know. I'm not an expert. Ish, like 5-ish. I think you want to replicate 12 a respiratory rate of 12 per minute. So that's 5 every 5 seconds. And then Jude is asking throw bags. I wonder what that is. That an answer to a question or a question? For if you're asking about what throw bags to get, which thank you for asking, I want to share a couple throw bags. How do I add this to the stage that we'll remove? Here we go. Add. I want to share some throw bags with you all while we have a minute. This is almost like a commercial for River Hardware. Remember, at River Hardware, our motto is, if you want customer service, call NRS. So I really like these Whitewater Training Center throw bags. I get them from Hungary. And if you're going to wear a waist belt, these are just the bomb. This is just an amazing throw bag. I'm right now wearing the 15 meter. It's only about 50 feet, but it does everything I need, everything I need quickly. So I like wearing it. It's not annoying, and it's a great throw bag. I like this throw bag a lot. I have this. If you're not going to wear a waist belt, I previously didn't have an option. I wouldn't recommend this throw bag if you're just going to tie it onto something, because it doesn't have good places to clip into your boat. But I worked with Sock the Lodger to make this throw bag, which is the Flare 55. And it's a 55-foot throw bag. It's a standalone throw bag. And it has a couple, you can't see it here. Let's see if it shows up here. It has, I guess I should do better with my photos. There's a green thing right there. A couple of green strappy things that you could put a cam strap through and like strap it to your boat. So this is one that's a standalone throw bag that you could cam strap somewhere to your boat. and or hang it from a carabiner somewhere. It has a little green thing there you can hang from a carabiner. So this is a throw bag I also really like. This wouldn't be like the throw bag you use for any kind of mechanical vantage. This would be like getting a swimmer, getting a boat and pulling it over, hanging your stuff up in camp, whatever, you know, tarps or whatever. This is good rope, but it's not amazing rope. I would never do mechanical vantage with this, but I'm a fan of like not doing mechanical vantage with throw bags. I'm a fan of having a separate rescue line for any kind of mechanical vantage. So as a personal throw bag, I think this one's super cool. Okay. I think that hopefully addresses whatever that hopefully whatever Judith you're asking there. And let's see, Mark Rivers, what's up, dude? Where have you been? I miss you, buddy. Seal right is the best mass for getting. The best mass for getting a seal in the water when giving rescue breaths. If boaters are going to carry a rescue mask, this is the one to get. Yeah. I think seal right's the one I'm using. Let me see what you're talking about. I think that's the one. So it's the one that has like the circle and donut and it's like, and it, seal right CPR mask. And it's like not pumped up all the way. Let's see if this is the one. Yep, this one. So this is what I'm carrying now. I don't carry this in my PFD. You don't have to get the little pack. You can just get this thing. I don't. Oh, sorry. I have to put this in the page so I can see it. This is the one I carry in the back of my kayaks. Again, you don't have to get that little fanny pack. Just get the mask. You can buy the mask on its own. This I carry this in like my bigger kit that isn't always with me. So I have like in my PFD a little tiny one. I can just give quick five quick rescue breaths. But if I'm going to do real CPR, I'm going to want this. This will help you push the foam because it's a good, it's unilateral. It doesn't just have to go a certain way. It's like a little bit loose. So it goes over, I hear it goes over beards really well. This is that, this is the mask that we should have in our kits. They like to advertise. No thanks. I'll pay full price. So yeah, Mark Rivers, thank you. Dude, I miss you, dude. I thought you asked what else you were talking about. I thought you said throw bags. Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks, Judith. Did I say throw bags? Huh. Anyway, thank you. I got to talk about throw bags. For respiratory arrest, every 5 to 6-ish. So that's one. So this is if they have a pulse, but they're not breathing, then you do one breath every 5 to 6 seconds-ish. Yeah, I think it's 5, but. I think what I learned is 5, but I'm sure as long as you're in that range, you're good. When you have to do compressions, you don't want to ever pause compressions longer than 10 seconds. I think all boaters should have a BVM. Yeah, that's interesting too. I mean, a BVM is a whole other world. We carry the BVMs commercially. There's like there's a small BVM called a pocket BVM that we carry commercially. I don't carry one in my kayak or my raft, but a BVM is a smart thing to have. It's interesting, you know, I talked to somebody who owns a first aid company about BVMs quite a bit. She was saying in the hospital, people, you know, if people inflate with both hands and they kill people by putting too much pressure in their lungs. That's what she was telling me. I think I'm explaining what she told me correctly. She said you gotta be really careful to just use one hand and baby that thing when you're BVMing and then not just like force too much pressure in people's lungs. I don't know if it's true. That's just what she told me. If we teach lifeguards to give breaths while swimming with a drum. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm hearing. If somebody's drowned, you want to give them breaths as fast as you can. You might have to get them to shore, but if you can do it in the water, you want to get oxygen in their system. And 5 rescue breaths are a way to do that. Oh, sweet, Mark. Yeah. I might be in the Rogue. Hopefully you come to Hood River. It'd be good to hang out, drink some rum together. Overventilation is an issue with BVM. You only want enough. Yes. Yeah. So that's the problem with having a BVM is you need some training with it. You know, just like how it works, how to connect it to this thing. Like you can't just carry a BVM and when the time happens and just start just like shoving air down people's lungs, I guess. It does take some training and some practice. You know, like training is like somebody telling you how to do it. And then practice is you once a year, you pulling it out and you go into the motions. So I agree with you. We should probably be carrying BVMs, but it would require more training than people do. But at a minimum, having this, this fancy, whatever Mark called it, this fancy thing with you if you have to do sustained CPR, you're going to want something like that. Mark's saying, taking a BL, really? A BLS CPR class. That's cool. I've only ever learned how to use a BVM in my EMT class like 25 years ago. I've never been taught that one since. And I take a CPR class every 2 or 3 years. I've taken multiple warfare courses and not one of them say anything about BVMs. So, yeah. Too much pressure with BVM can fill the stomach, which increases pressure, harder to ventilate patient, also encourages vomiting. Yeah. So it's nice to have a BVM, but knowing all this really helps. So, us talking about this now is not training. This is just talking about it. Training is you getting the stuff and then practicing with it and hopefully taking a class with it. Good conversation. Well, Judith, thank you again for reminding me to talk about throw bags. Sean, thank you for reminding us that the sales process at Wing is goofy. Somebody else said that, but also M. Framizic, the Wing craftsmanship is unreal, and they make cool boats. They're really cool boats. Really cool boats. Yeah, good episode. Thank you all for watching. And I start teaching class for rowing schools next week. So if we have a live show, it'll be on Monday. Thanks for watching.